15. Mark 1 verse 15, a familiar verse here, but we're not going to major on this verse today. We're going to major on verse 20 when we get there. But the Bible says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after them. In verse 20, we see this man Zebedee, the father of John and of James. But I ask you today, do you know a Zebedee? Not by name, and the Jewish name in the Hebrew, he'd be Zebedeus. But I'm sure you probably don't know anybody named Zebedeus. But do you know a Zebedee? I ask you today, are you Zebedee? We see in the Bible that Zebedee's sons follow Jesus. Jesus straightway or directly, the Bible tells us, calls them. And this call is not some call of election. This call was a loud proclamation. And so he directly calls out to the entire ship, but only two of them actually get out of the ship and follow Jesus. So we know Zebedee's sons follow Jesus. We know Zebedee's wife follows Jesus. In Matthew 20, in verse 20, the Bible says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee, talking about Jesus, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. Now, she's going to ask Jesus if her sons can sit on the right and left of them. But in Matthew 27, 55 and 56, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. So they're looking afar off at the cross where Jesus is dying to pay for our sins. And among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. The parallel verse in Mark, we know that this is Zebedee's wife, because it says in Mark 15:40, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome, which is Zebedee's wife. And so Zebedee's sons follow Jesus. Zebedee's wife follows Jesus. But we never see Zebedee follow Jesus in our Bible. Nothing in the Bible nor in Jewish history ever points to the fact that Zebedee followed Jesus. Now, I'm only inferring because of what the Bible says. We may find one day that Zebedee is in heaven. We may find that he's not in heaven. But what the biblical narrative tells us is that he did not follow when he was called. It's not crazy to think that he wouldn't follow Jesus, as Jesus' own brothers did not even follow him until after the resurrection. Even if he believed, we still never see him following. Believing and following are two different things. The same reason I believe that believers don't follow Jesus today is the same reasons I believe that Zebedee may not have followed Jesus. They won't follow in soul winning. They won't follow in servility. They won't follow in solidarity. They won't follow Jesus for whatever reason it is. What do we know about Zebedee? We know Zebedee was a man of some means. He has hired servants. We know that Zebedee has sons who are grown to the point that they're also partners in working with him. We know that Zebedee is someone who has a wife. He has abilities. He has some sort of influence, but we know that Zebedee did not follow Jesus. He did not get out of the ship. Verse 20, once again, it says this, and he called them, John and James, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. John and James get out of the boat, but Zebedee and the hired servants remain there. The hired servants had a boss, and so they couldn't just leave unless they wanted to lose their job, perhaps. But Zebedee, the owner of the ship, Zebedee, the person who had the ability, refused to follow Jesus. But I believe that the reason why Zebedee did not follow are the same reasons why we sometimes fall and don't follow. It's because of excuses. Number one, people have the priorities excuse. Their priorities are messed up. They don't have time, the stage of life they're in, their job, their pride, whatever it might be, they have other priorities that are higher than following Jesus. If you leave room for anything else but Jesus, you'll never serve Him. George Washington said it is better to offer no excuse than a bad one. Jonathan Swift, the author, said an excuse is worse and more terrible than a lie, for an excuse is a lie guarded. These folks always have something they prioritize over Jesus to make an excuse. My sister, a couple years older than me, she always kept a dirty room. And I could hear my mother and father telling her to clean her room nonstop. It seemed to be a daily situation in our home, that they would open my sister's door and her room would be messy. Now, I'm not saying dirty as far as like she wasn't filthy or unclean and leaving food and things like this, but clothes strewn everywhere, makeup everywhere, Barbie dolls here, just everything over everywhere. If you stepped into her room, there was no floor to walk on. You must walk on something or leap over something to get anywhere in that room. My parents were very big on every morning making our bed and keeping it nice and neat. Never was her bed made. Always a filthy room, but she always had an excuse. Well, I had too much homework, or I had too much practice, or too much to do at school, or something came on TV and I forgot, and whatever it might be. But I'll tell you that my sister, as she got older, those excuses became something different. Well, I wanted to hang out with my friends, or I'm going to do it. Her excuse was, well, I'll do it tomorrow, and it still never happened. And what I learned about my sister in her dirty room and her excuses was, all her excuses did with that dirty room was leave a dirty room. And Christian, all your excuses will only lead to a dirty life. You can make all the excuses of why you won't serve Jesus, why you won't go to church, why you won't read your Bible, why you won't pray, why you won't sow win, and all it's leaving is, you can have all the excuses you want, but all excuses do is leave you in the exact same position that you started in. And we've got to get out of the ship. Just because you're a believer does not mean that you are a follower, and we must get out of the ship. We don't want to find ourselves like Zebedee. Zebedee's wife is here and preserved in the Word of God as a follower of Jesus. Zebedee's sons, James and John, here, two of the top three of Jesus' pantheon, are preserved in the Word of God as followers of Jesus. But Zebedee did not get out of the boat, and I can only surmise that he had excuses. The second excuse that we have is the people excuse. I have these hired hands I have to pay. I can't leave them because I have a responsibility to them. Let me tell you this, don't allow your responsibilities or your love for other people stop you from serving Jesus. Family time, children, age, it's just as bad as the dog ate my homework excuse. You'll never regret leaving that stuff behind and following Jesus. But if you stay in the boat, you will have many regrets. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Have you ever thought about this? Acts chapter 12. Zebedee is the father of James. James is the very first Christian martyr in the entirety of the apostles. Stephen dies, but the apostles. Judas kills himself. James is the first apostle that dies. Zebedee's son, one who got out of the boat while Zebedee stayed in the boat. Acts 12:1 says, now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I bet Zebedee wished he would have gotten out of the boat that day. I bet he wished he would have followed Jesus, because for 3.5 years, as his son had left to follow Jesus, he missed out on 3.5 years. And shortly after Jesus has resurrected, his son dies. You can spend your entire life worrying about other people and other things, and eventually they die, they move on, they go away, but Jesus will remain the same. Listen, he would have been able to spend more time with the son, and he would have found out he couldn't leave his boat because he was too busy fishing and paying hired servants, but he would have found out that if he would have followed Jesus and spent that time with Jesus and his son, he would have found out that Jesus didn't need nets to catch fish. Interesting, in science, the queen bee is the most important. And when a bee colony realizes the queen bee is gone or has died, they go into emergency mode. During this, the worker bees generally select 10 to 20 larvae, that young larvae, that they build specialized queen cells around them and feed them only the royal jelly, in hopes that those 20 larvae will mature into a point of development, that they become a fertile queen, and that process can be done in as quickly as 16 days. But the entire time that's going on, they are in absolute emergency mode, because their first priority is to have someone to follow. If multiple queens emerge, they fight until one winner becomes the queen. And they fight to the death, by the way. If the colony fails to raise a new queen, the hive becomes queenless and the worker bees begin to lay unfertilized eggs that only turn into what we call drones or male bees. And if you only have boy bees, science still says there's no way to multiply. It leads to the colony's death. Listen, if you'll just follow the other bees, and all you do is follow the other bees, you are eventually going to die, even if it's the queen of all the bees. But here's what I know about, that's what we call an unmanaged beehive. And the unmanaged life of a Christian is that when Jesus is not really your Lord, you'll make excuse and you'll follow every person and everything except for Jesus, and you will eventually die, and that leader that you're following will eventually die. Some of you are being led around by your children and your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews. Some of you are being led away by different outside sources, your sports, your entertainment. And what I'm telling you is all those things eventually go away. In an unmanaged Christian life is always in a state of emergency, just like these bees. It's always drama. They're always found desperate and wanting, with an expiration date. This kind of Christianity can only last so long. You ever found out in your life that you can be everything for everyone, but when it's time for you to need someone, they're never there? This is the queen bee experience. The queen bee, as soon as she dies, everybody works to build another queen bee, but they never bury her. They never feel sorry for her. They're just looking for the next thing to follow. But can I give you some good news today? That's what an unmanaged Christian life looks like. That's what Christianity, that's what believer without following Jesus looks like. But let me give you the good news. But in a managed beehive, when there's a beekeeper, there's an intervention. And a mated queen is introduced to prevent the colony from failing. And all I'm saying to you is, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus intervened into my life, since he came down from heaven and died on the cross, and since he came into me and saved my wretched soul, ever since that day, now I have a managed Christian life, and I'm not following some queen or some entity that's going to die and go away, but I'm following one who will never die. I'm following one who will always live. I'm following him because he lives. I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I can keep on seeing. Because he lives, I can keep on following. Because he lives, because he is who he says that he is, I can have a managed Christian life and get out of the boat. Listen to me. When you leave the ship, get rid of all of your excuses with it, and you'll find a better life in Jesus. Leave the excuses and leave the ship. Amen. And watch what Jesus will do for you. They say, Pastor, you make it so simple that if you just follow Jesus, everything's going to get better. That's not what I said. But what I did say is, at least if you follow Jesus, the opportunity for it to get better never dies. But you can follow. Oh, I've been watching and you've been hearing me say it because this is where I'm at in my life. And so personal experience is the greatest testimony. And so where I'm finding myself in my life. And so it comes up often in my sermons and in my conversations because the reality is setting in that you can live 18, 19 years for your children and they leave you. You can put everything into them. They can be your queen bee. And what I'm learning is this. That's 18, 19, 20 years. Then they go on and do what they want to do, how they want to do it, and you don't have no control over it. You can like it. You don't have to like it, but you don't have any control over it. But what I understand, that's an unmanaged Christian life. You can't manage that. You can't make that happen. Anybody have kids or grandkids in their life that you wish they did it a different way? And you can't change it. All it does is if you keep harping on them, it just makes them mad at you. But here's the managed Christian life. But if I put all those excuses away and I put my time, efforts, and energy into Jesus, it always comes out for the good. And you say, well, Pastor, not everything always works out for good when it comes to Jesus. Maybe not what you can see, but according to the Word of God, it all works together for the good. But that's what we call faith. But I want you to see number three, the passive excuse. The passive excuse. Passive in the English language means accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance. Another word for passive in this sense is apathy or indifferent. Just don't seem to care. Let me remind you that as a Christian, apathy is a silent destroyer. Small holes don't repair themselves, they only become larger. Get this today. You can do nothing and get nothing. You can do something and get nothing. But you can't do nothing and get something. In Christianity, people sit around, and if you do nothing, you'll have no fruit. You'll get nothing. In Christianity, sometimes you'll go out and you'll try to go and knock on doors and see people saved, and you're doing something, and you'll get no fruit from it. Nothing will happen. That's possible too. But I know this much. There's no way to do nothing and get something. You want to see somebody saved? Then you got to tell them how to get saved. You want people to come to church? Then you got to invite somebody to come to church. You want somebody to be fed? Then you got to cook something. Somebody said amen. Amen. Yearly, over 100,000 animals die due to six-pack plastic yokes or rings. You know what I'm talking about, six-pack plastic rings. Over 100,000 animals yearly. There are some statistics that say nearly a million seabirds die yearly, or are affected, I should say, by those. But the more logical number, we believe, is to be 100,000 animals die. Not just are affected, but die. Now, you say, what do you care about animals? Well, God knows when one little sparrow falls to the ground, and they're still His creation, and whether they have a soul or not, they're still life. And just to not care if they die, the Bible talks about that a man with the right heart, the right soul, paraphrasing a proverb, cares for his beast. Amen. How a man treats his beast says something about you. And so this is why serial killers, they start off a lot of times killing animals when they're young. Because they have no regard for life. And again, whether it's human life or not, just their regard for life in general. I don't kill anything just to kill it. As much as I hate snakes, I don't kill them just to kill them. I run. Amen. they like to kill me. But you know, a simple slit in the plastic before you throw it in the trash takes care of that ring getting around the neck of those animals and potentially killing it or trapping it. It just takes a moment, a simple moment with the slice of a knife or the slice of a scissor to get rid of that ring's ability to strangle or hold or trap something. It just takes a moment of caring. And that's a type of getting out of the boat. But the statistics in our world today is that over 60 million people die worldwide per year. And that means 150,000 people die a day, which means two people die every second worldwide, every day. Only 30% of people in the world, by their own profession, are Bible-believing Christians, which mathematically means 42 million people die and go to hell yearly while we sit by and do nothing. Zebedee, the command here was, if you follow me, Jesus says, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will teach you how to tell other people what is said in chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let me remind you that that admonition has not changed. The time is at hand. You may be sitting here today and you may not make it till tomorrow. You may be sitting here today and your neighbor, your brother, your sister, your cousin, your family member is going to die and go to hell if they were to die today. They could be one of those 60 million people throughout the world. They may be one of those 150,000 in a daily period. They may be one of those two in the second situation. And the saddest thing is that Jesus has given us exactly what we're supposed to do, that it's now, the time is fulfilled. He's come to earth. He did what he said he was going to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. The kingdom of God is within us. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you, and the kingdom of God is literally at hand. And he says, in order for you to get this, you've got to repent. You've got to turn. Stop from doing it your way. You've got to stop. You've got to stop making excuses. You got to get out of the ship and start to follow me. And he says, and believe the gospel. You got to believe that I am who I say that I am, and that I did what I know I did. And when you come to that understanding, and when you come to that, you won't be able to be apathetic. You'll at least take some scissors or a knife out and cut the plastic. It's too gruesome to show pictures of people dead, but let me show you some pictures on the screen here today. If you'll just put those first images up here, I want you to see. Now, this is a picture, and so I would pray that there was human interaction and that someone took this duck and freed him. But if not, you might not be able to tell, but it's around its beak, and if it can't get it off, that means it cannot eat, and eventually that duck would die. With no human intervention, with nobody coming in, listen to me, with nobody coming in to save it, it's going to die. Next picture. This is a squirrel. A squirrel seems to be okay, but squirrels climb trees. It's around his neck and it's hanging off. You know what would happen eventually to this squirrel most likely? It's going to hang itself, jumping from tree to tree, because it's a squirrel. Its brain is the same size as my mother-in-law's. It's not going to know that it can't jump from tree to tree without getting hung. Go to the next one. Here's a turtle. Two turtles together, and it's around its shell. And it can't move, and eventually, when the turtle can't, it's already slow. Eventually, it's not going to be able to do the things that turtles are supposed to do to protect itself or to get away, and it's going to strangulate it. Look at the next picture. Beautiful bird, it's hard to see, but up here, it's around its neck and around its eyes and around the back of its head in the same situation, either be hung or slide down and choke it to death. I think there's a couple more here. Oh, no, back to the beginning, there's that duck again. So you see it around its neck. You see that duck won't make it very long with that tightening, because plastic, as it gets more wet and as it gets harder and dries out, becomes tighter. We'll eventually choke it out. I show you those pictures because, again, it's not as grotesque, but I want you to understand that the church, not just this church, the church, the worldwide church, is full of a bunch of Zebedees. They won't get out of the boat and follow Jesus. And Jesus says, the reason why I want you to follow me is to be fishers of men. The reason why I want you to follow me, but what did Jesus teach? What did the master's plan involve in evangelism? Let me give you these three things that Jesus' plan involved. When Jesus told these guys to get out of the boat and follow him, I said it at the very beginning, but Jesus gave them an understanding. Yes, this is about soul winning, right? And so the master's plan involves soul winning. Why did Jesus want us to follow him? The very first thing that Jesus teaches, these are the very first words Jesus spoke on earth that are recorded, by the way. I know they're not his first words because he spoke, I shouldn't say recorded, as a kid in his earthly ministry as an adult, the first ones we have recorded. But the first thing that Jesus says in his earthly ministry is Mark 1:15, and it's about preaching the gospel. And he tells other guys, come and preach the gospel. Listen to me, hear me very, very clearly. I don't care what excuse you're using today. If you're not preaching the gospel, it's an excuse. There's no way around it. You're just a Zebedee. Jesus is telling us that either we have a priority excuse, a people excuse, or we end up having this passive excuse. I don't have a number four, but if I did, I would tell you that they are all a poor excuse. Jesus says, here it is in soul winning. But what did Jesus do in his master plan of evangelism? He says, come and follow me. Come and be with me. I've never seen it, but I know that the show and the movie The Chosen is about kind of filling in gaps that we don't see in the Bible because there was lots of side conversations. And so they're not trying to rewrite the Bible. They're just kind of putting in some things and saying, hey, this could have happened or this could have happened. But all it is about Jesus spending time with the apostles. Listen to me. In this, Jesus, he's teaching them and following servility. He's teaching them how to serve, how to minister to one another. Jesus says, I didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. He's teaching them. When the apostles, these same sons of Zebedee, they're called the sons of thunder. Why? Because when the multitudes came, they said, will you send down fire from heaven and get rid of these fools? And Jesus says, you think that because you don't have compassion on them, but I have compassion unto the multitude. And he taught them what it was to serve. Their mother, we read the verses, she says, hey, can they sit on my right and left? He says, it's not for me to give. He says, the first shall be last, and he that shall be great shall be the other one's minister, or shall be the minister. Jesus is teaching them how to serve. He got around them. He got close with them. You can't learn how to serve Jesus if you're not close to Jesus. Amen. Well, why wouldn't you get close to Jesus? Because you're like Zebedee. You're making an excuse. You don't prioritize Jesus. Other people are more important than Jesus. Or you just don't care. You're just passive about Jesus. But then Jesus tells us, why else would Jesus to get together? What did it bring? What did it breed? Well, let me tell you what it brought on these guys. They find Peter and Andrew, and he finds Nathaniel and Philip and John and James, and he gets all these boys together, and Matthew and Judas and all these people. But I know this, when Jesus died, and they thought all hope was lost, what Jesus had bred in them over that 3.5 years was, we know that they got the soul winning thing because they changed the entire world by preaching the gospel. We know they got the service thing because they started the entire church. Jesus said to them, hey, listen, go and do like as I have told you unto you to do. And we see the book of the Acts of the Apostles, them just going and serving people. But what else did they get? And the church is supposed to get, they got solidarity. When Jesus is dead, they found all the apostles together. People are looking to kill them. They're looking to get rid of them, and they found them all together. Even this Zebedee's wife, but you don't find Zebedee there because he wouldn't get out of the boat. Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascends up into heaven, what do you find? You find all the apostles together. Solidarity, because Jesus taught them, because they followed him. You don't find Zebedee there. All I'm saying to you today is this. Whatever excuses you have not to get out of the boat and serve Jesus today, ask yourself, what excuse are you using today? Are you using this excuse today that, well, I believe Jesus, but he's not my priority? Okay, Zebedee. He saw Jesus. He sees his boys get out of the ship and leave, and he stays there with the hired hands. His priority was money. His priority was these hired hands. His priority was a ship. But he heard the same straightway call that his sons heard, but he refused to hear. Some of you are just as saved as I'm saved, but you haven't got out of the ship. Are you using the people excuse? Well, I got this going on, and I got that going on, and this, and this, and this, and this. And listen to me, you can use the people excuse, but you're just a Zebedee. You won't get out of the boat because everybody and everything else is more important to you than Jesus. It's an excuse. You say, oh, well, I don't do it because of this or that, or I'm just going to stay out the way. If I stay quiet enough, nobody will know. That's just a passive excuse. Like I said, and they're all just a poor excuse. Now, I'm not the brightest guy, but I know this much. If we sit by as Christians and we won't preach the gospel, we won't be soul winners, then we become like my sister's room. It's a room and it's full of stuff, but it's just a dirty room. It's just a dirty life. And when you need what you want to find, you can't never find it because it's just not dirty. When our life is too dirty as Christians, we can't find what we need to find when we need to find it because we got to search too much because we ain't used it in so long. I know that as Christians, we become like the bee colony that when one thing happens, when we lose our queen, when we don't know who to follow, we go into emergency mode and we try to man-make and try to fix it ourselves, and we can't fix it ourselves because we weren't following the right person to begin with. And I know that as these poor animals die because of apathy and passive people, I know that there are millions of people dying and going to hell every single year because the church sits on the sidelines and won't get out of the ship. I want you to think about this. The next time you're walking by, maybe you're even in a boat, and you see one of those six-ring plastic yokes laying on the ground, now that you've seen that, to get out of the boat means that you would go and pick it up. And you'd cut slits in it and you'd throw it away. Certainly you would never litter anyway, Christian, salt and light. You'd go and cut it because just might be that the next bird or squirrel that comes by would find itself in death because somebody was too passive, somebody was too apathetic just to take the time to give them a chance to be saved from it. Certainly, Christian, you'd get out of the boat. But would you get out of the boat for your neighbor? Would you get out of the boat for your family member? Would you pass by and get out of the ship just long enough to tell them, hey, listen, you're living this unmanaged life, and you need to understand that there's a God in heaven, and His Son, His name is Jesus. And all I'm trying to do today is I can't save you, but He can. And I'm trying to fix your condition from lost to saved. Christian, I'm asking you, would you get out of the boat today? Would you not allow the hardness of your heart to say, well, I'm going to be passive. I'm going to make excuses. I'm going to do all this. Listen, you say, well, I used to be on fire for the Lord. I used to do this. Great. My basketball coach used to tell us, it's better to be a has-been than a never was. Can I say this to you? I would rather be a right now person than a has been or a never was. I'd rather live in the moment because Jesus says the time is fulfilled. It's right now. Every moment we're living. You're not promised tomorrow. Nobody else is promised tomorrow. Don't make excuses. Get out of the boat. Don't be a Zebedee. You heard Jesus call. You're saved here today. Then you heard His call. But He didn't stop with, follow me. Jesus says, and I will make you to be fishers of men. He taught them. He fellowshipped with them. And when He left them, they found out, hey, you know what? Birds of a feather really do flock together. You know what happened to all of them? James the first, other than his brother, different reasons, they all died. They all died a serving, solidarity, death, and you know why they died? For soul winning. for telling people that Jesus was risen from the grave. Would you get out of the boat today? Say, listen, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm not even talking about service in church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about in your daily life. Would you get out of the boat? Don't let people pass by you, and they might be the next victim of a six-ring yoke. Because I'll tell you this much, as sad as those six-ring yokes were on those animals' heads, it ain't as sad as hell. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would help us, Lord. I don't want to be a Zebedee, Lord. I don't want to stay in the boat. Lord, you called and we called upon your name and we're believers, but it's perhaps true that Zebedee was a believer, but he certainly wasn't a follower. Well, I don't want to just be a believer. I want to be a follower. I want to follow you so well. I want to follow you so strongly that I've learned to be a soul winner, that I've learned to be a servant, that I've learned to be in solidarity with you and with your mission, the church, and the bride of Christ. Father, I pray today that we wouldn't be passive and just allow things to happen around us without us interjecting ourselves for the good order of not only humankind, but for eternity's sake. Lord, I pray today that we would not have people excuses, that we wouldn't allow anybody else to affect our relationship, our service, our solidarity, our soul winning with you. I pray that, Lord, we would never have the priorities excuse, that our priorities would be misplaced and in the wrong places, but that our priority would be you. For if we shall truly be saved, there is none priority greater than the cause of Christ. Father, today I pray, you help us, you guide us. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, listen, Mother's Day is Sunday. So don't mess that up, for one.